And go to God in a word of prayer. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us and the many blessings that we have. Help us to be ever mindful of just the things in life that we share with, that we share with one another, that you have given us. We consider it a blessing to be able to have the opportunities to even meet in this fashion, and so we just pray that you would be blessed because of it. We thank you so much for each and every one that uses these studies to grow closer to you and ultimately closer to our goal of heaven. We just thank you, we praise you, and we thank you for everything you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at Timothy this evening. If you've got your handout, your printout, maybe it's still on your electronic device. The first thing we look at with Timothy is his first appearance in the Bible. That happens in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul is out on his missionary journeys. He's been traveling. He says Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. Now, do you remember, a disciple is a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So we first come across Timothy when Paul is on his travels as he revisits Lystra. This happens when Paul and Silas are on their second missionary journey. Timothy played a prominent role in the remainder of this second trip. When Paul was forced to leave Berea because of an uproar started by the Jews from Thessalonica, Silas and Timothy were left behind to strengthen the work in Macedonia. After they rejoined Paul in Athens, Paul sent Timothy back to the believers in Thessalonica to establish them and to encourage them to remain in the faith. So this is the first time that we come across Timothy is in Acts chapter 16. That was kind of a nutshell of where we first encounter Timothy. It does make a small portion mention about his father, just that he was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew. So this being the case, Timothy needed to be circumcised, Paul felt, on their trip to make things expedient in their nature in their travel. This would have been, as we know of Timothy, a young man, probably in his teens, early 20s, and this was no small proof that he was all in for his obedience to the Lord, to be circumcised. And so Timothy does this just to make it easier on his travels with Paul as they go into different territories that might be suspect of him since his dad was a Greek. As we continue on, we see that Timothy becomes one of Paul's closest companions. Paul was probably closer to Timothy than any other associate that he had. We know that he was close with Barnabas and Silas, but there's no doubt that he developed a relationship through the years with this young Timothy. Paul's friend and chief associate, who is mentioned in six of Paul's letters as being there and being helpful to Paul in the writing of these epistles. Not only was Timothy close with Paul, but we also see that when Timothy would go places and even in his home congregation, that he was thought of highly by others. He was held in high regard, it says, by those in Lystra and Iconium. He was the son of a Gentile father and a Jewish Christian mother named Eunice, and the grandson of a woman by the name of Lois. Paul commends him to the Philippians as one proven in character and faithful. Paul thought of him as a son to a father. We're going to see many of the adjectives that are used by Paul in description of Timothy, a proven character, faithful. As we look at these, those are such great qualities to have in any Christian. And Timothy sets that prime example, not only as a young Christian and being younger in age, but also sets that as a standard of ultimate leadership that he would be in as well. The Apostle Paul spoke highly of this young man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. If you want to turn there, Philippians 2, 19 through 24, it says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who genuinely will be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming to you shortly." Timothy was also spoken of as a follower of Christ. And isn't that one of the best things that could be said? Those that from his hometown in Acts 16:2, that he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So he was highly thought of by others. I don't think we should seek out to be highly thought of by others, but it should become something that happens when we are doing what the Lord asked for us to do. Some terrific traits of Timothy. He was conscious of those around him. He came from a mixed background and could relate from those with both sides of the aisle, Jews and the Greeks. I think Paul knew this. Paul knew that he was going to have the opportunity to go and to share, that he was going to be able to set an example. And Timothy was willing to live up to that challenge. But I guess as I look at Timothy and I just think of him being conscious of those around him, he knew where he was going, even as a very young man, and that others were going to be watching him. And he always did his best to reach out and to pull people closer to Christ in all that he did. He was not only conscious of those around him, but he was caring. Timothy was trained early in life to do the things that would be pleasing to God. His grandmother and his mother did this. His basic principles were established very early in life. When it becomes something that you train them up in, then he it became second nature to him. Some passages we've got to go with that is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5 says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwells in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." This is one of those things that Paul shares that I think we still relate with today. You may meet somebody for the very first time, but you know of someone, some family member that they're related to. Obviously, Paul says, we know of Eunice, and we know of Lois, and we know how faithful they are to the Lord. And so we're sure that this is in Timothy as well. That is all well and good. But you know what? Eventually, you can no longer be, you know, related to Eunice and to Lois, your grandmother, and Eunice, your mom. You have to become your own person. And Timothy did that. And he grew up in that. And people saw that this was his character. Not just carrying on the character of a family member, which is all well and good for a while, but eventually you have to become your own man. And Timothy did that. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 says this, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." It all boils down. Everyone's got the same thing. That you can believe what your mom and dad believe. You can believe what your grandpa and grandma believe. You can believe what all your aunts and uncles believe. But eventually you have to own it yourself. And that's what Timothy did. And he let others know that. That yes, his family believed that. But most importantly, he took that in upon himself. Timothy was very, very loyal as well, as another characteristic or a trait that we see from Timothy. especially to Paul. This guy struggled with all kinds of things. We know anyone who's studied him in depth before know that he also had stomach issues. And, of course, there's text, Bible verses there that lead to how he would take care of his frequent infirmities. And never has there been hardly a more misused text in Scripture. Timothy was not a social drinker. Timothy was not an alcoholic. Timothy didn't drink alcohol for his own pleasure and well-being or to have a good time. That is not at all what that text is saying. Read into it why he did that. It was for medicinal purposes and that only. But so Timothy's got stomach issues. What guy in church leadership doesn't? But Timothy had that. He was loyal and faithful to the Word of God. He was loyal and faithful to Paul. Even as he writes 2 Timothy, Paul says that everybody else has left me, but there are just those few, and Timothy being one of them, that are still there with him. He was loyal and faithful to the end. Even throughout his whole life, even as he gets to be towards the end of the first century, he is preaching. He is the evangelist working in the church at Ephesus, and there is an uprise, and the people from the city take him out and stone him to death. Historian Eusebius tells us a little bit about that. But he was loyal and faithful until death. But as we look then, as we continue with Timothy and his work in the church, this is maybe where we've got more things listed as his working in the church. And you pick out one of these traits and you're just like, boy, you know, I know a person that does this or a person that does that. But Timothy did all of these things. That is why Timothy is such a prime example for anyone and as they endeavor with working in the Lord's church. The first thing that we want to point out is that he was an encourager. He was an encourager. I know in my life and in my ministry here at Harlan, I definitely have those people behind me, especially with the leadership here, our elders, our deacons, and many of the churchmen that are encouragers to me. That they seem to always say the right thing when I need to hear it, when I'm feeling down, when I'm not at the peak of my game and on top of things. And there are so many of them that they just send a text at that right time. They let you know that they're thinking of you or whatever it may be. And but Timothy was that. And that's one of the things I know in my life that I could do better is be a better encourager to people. But Timothy's later report of the faith and the love of the Thessalonians greatly encouraged Paul. And he would go in and encourage the entire congregations, not just individuals, but entire congregations. But you know, it's all got to start somewhere, whether you're encouraging one person or you're encouraging a whole group. Be an encourager. He was told not to be despised by no one. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 through 11. It says, "Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren." Timothy's coming in, young guy. And I think that's one of the traits that we've had here at Harlan that is a good trait, is that when we have young individuals in high school, young adults, new Christians, that we don't despise them, that we're thankful for them. It goes back to that being an encourager. But Timothy here is going even so much farther that he will, in time, as we see here, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, to him as an evangelist, setting the churches in order. This is no easy task, to make sure that that he is doing what the Lord asks, and to be despised by no one. That means he has to do what he knows is right in the eyes of the Lord, and he can lay his head on his pillow at night knowing that even if there are someone out there that is a naysayer, or is against him, that if they're against him, then they're against the Lord. And he is to be despised by no one. Paul also refers to him as a true son in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." He's letting everybody know what he thinks of Timothy. And how he thinks that of Timothy is because of the way that Timothy is living his life and carrying himself as they go about their business. We see that Timothy is told and reminded that he is going to be an example to all. So many times, I remember saying this to my own kids, that we'd say, well, you need to do this because you're an example to your peers. You're an example to your friends. But you know what? We're not just an example to our friends or our peers. We're an example to everyone. There are those people that we may never even talk to that are watching us that we are an example to. Timothy was taught and commanded as well to teach and to be an example. Not just to teach people. We oftentimes say those who can't teach. But Timothy could. He could set the example, as we all should. And he still taught. And he taught what the Lord wanted for him to pass on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This is a lengthy text, but it gives us some great insight to how Timothy was an example to all. It says, "Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterances, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you." There really is so much in that text that we could just develop a whole series of lessons just out of that text there. But some of the things I do want to focus on there, obviously, is let no one look down on your youthfulness. And then he says, but in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. He says, until I come, pay attention to public reading. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And that means not just there in the church services, but he's standing out willing to let the world know of that. And I think that is one of the neat things that's kind of happened through this is that it's not just a small group that is listening. We've got many that are able to listen to the gospel being shared and being read and being presented. And they do that in a way there, Timothy is told, with exhortation and teaching. And he says, don't neglect the spiritual gift that is within you. That's a whole nother study of spiritual gifts and what those are. And he has been, obviously, had the prophetic utterances, it says, by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, being ordained to the position that Timothy is in. That's why he's not to let anyone despise him. That is given as authority, as we made mention of a few weeks ago with that of the elders and in the Acts 20, when it says that they are made elders, overseers by the Holy Spirit. When we do the ordination the way that Scripture tells us to, there is a passing on of responsibility, of accountability from elders to evangelists and from evangelists to elders. And it helps to keep the church as it should be. It says, take pains with these things, to be absorbed in them, to let them consume you. I know in the church, especially with the leadership, and I know with other Christians in our group, that we become absorbed in these things. We think about them, and we get them in our head, and we can't get them out. And that's what we need to be. There needs to be taking the Word of God into our system so that it can be evident to all. We also see then pay close attention to yourself and to the teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Why would this mean salvation for Timothy? Because I believe we as Christians have the responsibility that it is our job to make sure that we continue to share the gospel. And if we don't, then we are no different than the Lord telling us about the one who finds the treasure out in the middle of a field and takes and buries it. That what good does it do if we keep that all to ourselves? That we need to be there and also be there for the ones that need to hear us. There may be someone tuning in tonight that's never heard the gospel message, and we're praying that they would want to know more about that before it's eternally too late. But Timothy being an example to all, he was also to be a leader of the people to read Scripture and exhort others. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For this reason I've sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in the church." And so Paul's saying, okay, this guy knows what's going on. He knows what should be shared. He knows what needs to be said. He knows how people need to be encouraged. He knows where people need to be rebuked and corrected. And he is able to do this. And with that, that's where he's gaining this of being an example. You come into town, you've got no witness among the people. But when you have Paul speak on your behalf, and you share with the people the same things that Paul had shared, they'll learn to like you real quick. And they did with Timothy. And they understood that Timothy was a man of action and a man of faithfulness to the Lord. He was to be strong. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Very first youth rally I ever spoke at, this was the text that I was given. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." Some translations may say of fear, but of power and love and discipline. You know what? We fear a lot of things. Right now, obviously, with the COVID-19, we fear the future. What's going to happen? How long, much longer can this go on? How much suffering, how much pain, what's going to be the loss, and we're trying our best to be strong. And this is where, in order to be strong, then we have to rely more on the Lord. And I think sometimes we say we want to be strong, and then we think that's going to come without having to flex any muscles, without having to exercise those ideals. We want to become strong, then the Lord is going to put us through a fire. And putting us through that fire is what makes us strong. Timothy was strong. Timothy kept on doing what he needed to do, even when things got rough. And he faced things that were far worse than COVID-19. We know, as we shared, he obviously lost his life because of his faithfulness to the Lord. But be strong. And we see that that happens. And we pray to be strong. And when it does, boy, we're sometimes maybe not so grateful that that we prayed for that, but we will be better for it. What a wonderful thing it must have been for Timothy to be brought up under the Apostle Paul. Truly, it was a wonderful thing for him to have been referred to as a true son in the faith, which we looked at many times by this apostle. And there's no doubt that Paul was teaching Timothy how to live a life for the Lord. And because Timothy was a good student, he trusted him. He was then trusted with various responsibilities. This kind of goes along with what we just mentioned on being strong, is not to waver. But you know, there are times in our life that we are going to be pushed, that we are going to bend, but we will not break. He was urged to charge others, not to teach any other doctrine. In other words, it could become easy in a person's life to say, you know, when you have somebody, especially someone that's quite boisterous or strong in voice that you're dealing with, to give in. But Timothy, I don't think, did that. No matter how many times he would be faced with something, and maybe even somebody that says, no, let's do this, it'd be more popular to speak this. It would benefit us. We'd get more people to come into the services if we just change this a little bit. Don't waver. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the ministration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And boy, I think Timothy nailed those things there at the end. Is instruction with love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Timothy knew what the Lord wanted for him to preach. Timothy knew what Paul wanted for him to preach. And Timothy was not going to waver. He wasn't going to water it down. He was going to bring it boldly and strong. The goal is to love from a pure heart the things that God would be proud of. Timothy knew what he needed to do in his life for the Lord to be proud of him, and he would not waver from those things. Timothy was also a teacher of the truth, a teacher in truth. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. In other words, as I was reading this week, one thing that I kept coming over time and time again was the word mentor, about with Paul and Timothy. And it says that, you know, we're all Timothys at some point, that we need to be mentored. But then on the flip side of it, it says we need to not also be mentored by somebody. There becomes a time where we need to be the one who is doing the mentoring. We have one that we are training. And so many times, it's really hard for people to have somebody that they grow and they're close with, that they feel like they've been strengthened with them, and then when they set them out so that they can do the same thing and set an example for other people, that they kind of take offense to that. They get upset. And that is not at all how it should be. Paul mentored Timothy so that Timothy could mentor others. And if we fail to pass that on, if we stick in that Paul and Timothy relationship our entire life, I think we're failing at what the Lord wants for us to do. Paul trained Timothy because Paul wasn't always going to be there. Paul wanted for Timothy to know that when he got out on his own, that Timothy needed to do the same thing with somebody else. And he needed to take other people, and you need to pass that on. So when somebody trains you up, when somebody spends 6 months, when they spend a year, when they spend years being close with you and training you up, and then they decide that it's time for you to do that on your own with somebody else, don't be upset about that. Be strong. Don't waver. Be faithful to the Lord. Yes, we desire certain relationships, but with that, we also understand that our responsibility is to be mentored and then to mentor someone else and continue to pass that on. So be a true teacher be a teacher in the truth. We also see that Timothy did something that would have been difficult in his day, just as it is difficult in our day, and that is he reminds those who were rich not to trust in their riches because they would one day pass away. 1 Timothy 6:17, I know that you've come across this verse before. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. There's definitely a time that we see that there's nothing wrong with being rich, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but if you are clinging to that as your mainstay in life, then you're going to have a rocky life. You're going to have a major letdown because ultimately the riches can come and riches can go, but we know that Jesus Christ is the one that stands firm. Build your life on Him, and He is the one that we should focus on. As the rest of that verse says, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And there are many times that if you really stop and think about it, we get some of our greatest times of enjoyment have nothing to do with the financial status of our checkbook. We can look at this man's life of Timothy, and there is a lot to learn from him. We see that he was willing, that he was eager, he was a faithful student of God's word, as we all should be. He listened to authority, and he tried his best to do what was pleasing to God. What great qualities and traits in an individual. Can these things be said of us? Are those what other people are saying of us? Is that most importantly what God is saying of us? May we all be as Timothy, to be sincere, to be obedient. He was a man that, even though he was young, he was to set an example for all. So he's a individual that can set the example for young ones, young in the faith, or even the young of age, for them to be like him, to grow up into a man, to grow up into one who does the Lord's work, to preach the gospel, to never waver, to be strong, to be faithful. He followed the example of Paul, and Paul told us that he followed the example of Christ. He was willing to serve God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and with all of his soul. If we would look at Timothy and think in our life how we could be like him, that would be a good thing for the church. The church would definitely grow if we had a whole lot more people living their life like Timothy. Thank you so much for joining with us tonight. If you're here tonight, first time listening in, we do want to share the gospel plan of salvation with you that tells us that you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you understand what he's done for us, you're going to understand that there's a repentance needed in our life, that we need to repent of the sin that put Jesus on the cross. We must then be willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We must then be submissive to Jesus, have our sins washed away. We have someone lower us down in the watery grave of baptism, where we say goodbye to the old man of sin, and we rise to walk in the newness of life. And we just pray, Lord, that we could be faithful, that we could be faithful, encourage others to be faithful as well. We're going to close out with a word of prayer, and we just thank you for being with us again tonight, sharing with us. Pray that this COVID-19 thing will come to an end soon, and we can all be back together, together physically. It's going to be such a wonderful time when that finally happens. Let's pray. Our Father, God, Heaven, we thank you so much for this time that we have to meet with you in your word, to study and learn from your word, to look at characters as we have been in Timothy, and we learning from him tonight, just seeing all the good and positive things that he shared. May we be like that. May we be faithful and strong and true and obedient and all those good things that were described of him. We know that it'll be hard. We know that it'll cause us stomach issues, that there will be much concern in our life for the things that we desire to see, not only in our own life, but in the lives of others as we try our best to live for you. May we encourage one another. May we reach out and strengthen one another in any way that we can and that we see possible. We just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight. Again, we thank you for being able to reach out through Facebook Live to share your message. We just pray that we'd be strengthened and encouraged through it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.